Torah portion, of course, is Tazria, so I'll say it. Turn with me, if you would, where this one starts. That would be chapter 12 of the book of Leviticus, or Vayikra. And it says, okay, verse 1, not going to be anything in verse 1 that we haven't seen before. It says, and Yahuwah spoke to Moshe, saying, speak unto the B'nai Israel, saying, all right, well, we're getting close. We know there's going to be a unique word in here pretty soon. Saying the following, if a woman, now this is where it's interesting. The word here, the root word is Tazria. And essentially that has to do with bearing seed or brings forth seed. So if a woman is delivered or if she brings forth seed and that seed is a man-child, literally a zakar, or a male, is literally how the word is used in Scripture, well, then there's going to be some politically incorrect stuff that happened. And this is one of those interesting things. The woman is literally unclean for a week, for 7 days, as it is during the time of her monthly cycle, her menstrual period, the Hebrew word, of course, is nidah. So if she brings forth a male child, she is unclean for 7 days. On the eighth day, the flesh of his foreskin is to be circumcised. And you probably heard the term, it's bret milah, and it is a it's become a kind of a traditional ritual. But anyway, the eighth day is a day when the male child is to be circumcised. And there is a there's an offering that's made, and as you may recall in Luke chapter 2, Yeshua's parents, or at least his earthly parents, made the offering. It was it's described in here in a minute. But all of this happens on the eighth day if it's a male child, but she continues in the blood of purification for 33 days after birth. She's to touch nothing that is hallowed, not come into the sanctuary, until the days of that purification are fulfilled. On the other hand, and here comes the politically incorrect part, because, of course, question is, why is there a sexual difference? Well, one answer, obviously, is because Yah says so. If she bears, in fact, a maid or a female child as opposed to a male, then the time of her uncleanness lasts twice as long, 2 weeks, as in the time of her nidah, as she continues in the blood of her purification for 66 days, also exactly twice the 33. Why? Well, the answer is Scripture doesn't tell us. The sages do, and it's an interesting explanation. I don't know if it's true or not. But they will say that, well, basically, a female child is also going to bring forth children herself, so that what this is somehow representative of the impurity of the time of her mother bringing forth a child, and then the time that would be associated with the child itself, herself, bringing forth additional children. Again, I don't know if that's true or not, but the bottom line is, he says something. It's politically incorrect now even to acknowledge that there is a difference between males and females, because, after all, aren't they interchangeable? And don't we like females better? And no, of course, the point is we have been fed a whole bunch of lies, and that's why I think it's important to go back and see what Scripture says and note that sometimes it's just not politically correct, but it is correct. All right. When the days of her purification are fulfilled, now, it's going to be, again, depending upon whether it's a male or female, but if it's a son or for a daughter, either one, she is to bring an offering, a lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, an olah, and a young pigeon or a turtle dove for a chatat, a sin offering, unto the door of the tent of meeting, unto the Kohen. She offers it, well, she gives it to him. He shall offer it before Yahuwah, make atonement for her, and then she'll be she will be cleansed from the fountain of her blood. This, it says, is the Torah for a person, a woman, that brings forth a child, whether it's a male or a female. Now, then it tells us this. This is back to Luke 2:22 again. If she's not poor, if she is poor, doesn't have enough means to be able to afford a lamb, then instead she takes two turtle doves or two young pigeons, one for a burnt offering, the other for a chatat, and the priest makes atonement for her, and she shall be clean. So now we change, and we're going to see this next chapter. This is a fairly short Torah portion, is chapter 13, and it's going to introduce a concept which is always a little bit flummoxing to folks for several reasons. One, because we don't even know what this thing is that's being talked about anymore. We do call it leprosy. Well, we don't. I don't, because I don't like the word. And it's not leprosy. Leprosy, a.k.a. Hansen's disease, is very clearly not what this is that is being described here. However, the noun in Hebrew is zara'at. And depending upon whether you have the Sephardic or the Ashkenazi pronunciation, sometimes you'll see it written Zaraas, because they like to say Shabbos instead of Shabbat and so forth. But anyway, it's Zaraat or Zaraas, and it's being described in here as something which, well, it's quite interesting. The sages will also tell you that it has to do with Lashon Hara, or the evil tongue. I think there's a lot of scriptural basis for that. But let's just go through the specifics first, because it says, Yahuwah spoke to Moshe and unto Aaron. He said the following, when a man shall have in the skin of his flesh a rising, or a scab, or a bright spot, becomes in the skin of his flesh the plague of Zaraat. So whatever this is a description of it, and it becomes this, then he is to be brought unto Aaron the Kohen, or one of his sons, the Kohanim. Now, the Kohen looks upon this plague in the skin of his flesh, and now we're going to get a lot of what sounds like a kind of a medical description, and it is the priest, the Kohen, that is going to make the assessment. Priest shall look upon the plague in the skin of the flesh. If the hair in the plague is turned white, and the appearance of this plague is deeper than the skin of his flesh, it is, in fact, Zaraat. And then what? The priest looks upon him and pronounces him. He declares him unclean. Now, for years I've told this joke. Everybody's heard this joke probably 100 times, unless you're new, in which case you've never heard it. But essentially, it is the priest that makes a declaration. And it ain't Zaraat until the priest declares that it is. And, of course, the joke, if you've never heard it, is about these three umpires in a bar, and they're arguing, and they're saying, you know, which one of them is the most amazing umpire. And one of them says, you know, when it comes to balls and strikes, I calls them as I sees them. Yeah, and the other says, hell, that's nothing. I calls them as they are. All right. Oh, wow. He's upped. One upped the other guy. Then, finally, the third umpire says, now, you guys don't know squat. They ain't nothing until I calls them. All right. So the point here is that's arguably what is being described in the case of the Kohen. They ain't nothing. It is described, and once he looks upon him and declares him, we're going to see that's the consistent pattern. He is, in fact, he has this thing. Now, the term for one who has it is called a metzora. We'll see that in the next Torah portion. But he has Zaraat, and also he is Tameh, unclean. We're going to see that show up. You've probably seen the movies like The Robe or The Ten Commandments. You remember that was what people used to do. Although they called them lepers, and again, let's not confuse this. This is not Hansen's disease. And as far as the sages are concerned, and most of the medical system will also agree, there has not been any recorded case of whatever this is for centuries at this point. So, does it still exist? Well, at least it doesn't seem to. No, there's not a vaccine. That sure as heck didn't do it. And it's not necessarily cleanliness or anything else. And I've described my own take on this in the past. I'll probably mention it again, or at least allude to it. But I think the reason for Zaraas has to do with a feedback mechanism, something that the Creator put in place so that people would know when they are guilty of something and they need to clean up their act, this skin disease, this Zaraat would happen to them. And I guess the problem today is the whole society is so incredibly unclean. A, there's no place to kick them out that they could be unclean and be separated, because there's no such place that's clean anymore. And B, if it was merely unclean lips and lying tongues and so forth that constituted Zaraas, I mean, imagine, you wouldn't be able to flip on the TV or walk down the street, or much less go to the White Whorehouse or any place in the swamp and have anybody that didn't look like they were, you know, scars hanging off of them all over the place, even though there aren't any priests to declare them to be unclean, which is arguably part of the problem. All right, back to the description here. If this spot is white in the skin of his flesh, and the appearance is not deeper than the skin, and the hair of has not turned white, then he's going to basically delay a decision. He shuts him up for 7 days. And the priest looks on him on the 7th day, and behold, let's check it out. If the plague has stayed in its appearance, has not spread in the skin, well, then he's going to try, shut him up 7 more days. This time he looks again on the 7th day. Behold, now if it's dim, and the plague hasn't spread, then here it is. He pronounces him. He ain't nothing tells like calls him. He is clean. and it is a scab, he washes his clothes and he is clean. Now, on the other hand, if the scab has spread abroad after he's been shown to the priest for his cleansing, then he shows himself to the priest again. He looks, behold, if it has spread, then the Kohen shall pronounce him Tameh, Tameh, he is unclean, it is Zara'at. So when this plague of Zara'at is in a man, then he is brought to the Kohen. Kohen looks, beholds, if there's a white rising, if the hair has turned white, or there's quick raw flesh, that sounds kind of gross, if that's in there, then it's an old Zara'at in the skin of the flesh, and he is unclean. Priest pronounces him so. He does not shut him up, doesn't need to, because he knows he is unclean. Now, if this Zara'at breaks out abroad in the skin, and by the way, as I'm reading this, notice most of the English is going to say leprosy, leprosy, leprosy all over the place. So I hope I won't slip and say the wrong thing, because again, that's not what it is. But it's Zara'at in the Hebrew consistently. And this thing covers all the skin of the person that has it, from his head to his toes, as far as he appears to the priest. And then the Kohen looks, and behold, if the Zara'at has covered all of his flesh. Now, this is kind of interesting. So, you're unclean, unclean for a while, but once you get completely covered, now he's covered completely head to toe, he can pronounce him to be clean, that he has the Zara'at. It's all turned white. He is clean. But, if he still has raw flesh that's appearing, that's not turned white, he is unclean. So the priest looks upon the raw flesh, pronounces him unclean. The raw flesh is unclean. It is the Zara'at. But if the raw flesh again turns white, then he goes to the priest. Priest looks on him, and behold, if the plague has turned completely white, then the Kohen pronounces him Tameh. And the man that has the Zara'at, the Metzora, he is now clean. So, when the flesh has in the skin thereof a boil and it's healed, and in the place of the boil there's a white rising or a bright spot, reddish white, then that's shown to the priest. He looks, behold, if the appearance is lower than the skin and the hair is turned white, he is again unclean. Tameh, it is Zara'at, it's broken out in that boil. But instead, if he looks on it and there's no white hairs and it's not lower than the skin, in other words, it's not sunken down, but just kind of dim, then we're going to do the same thing. Shut him up for 7 days, see if it spreads, and if it does, then the Kohen pronounces him unclean. It is the plague. And this is kind of interesting. This is the first use of this word here, which is naga, which is literally the plague word. It's something pretty gnarly. If the bright spot, though, stays in place and hadn't spread, it is the scar of the boil, and the Kohen can pronounce that he is, in fact, Tahor. Now, when the flesh turns in the skin to a burning by fire, and the quick flesh of the burning becomes a bright spot, reddish white or white, then the priest looks on it, and behold, if the hair has turned white, the appearance is deeper than the skin, you know it, it is Zara'at. If it's broken out in the burning, the priest pronounces him to be Tameh. It is unclean, he is unclean, and he has Zara'at. But if the priest looks on it, behold, there's no white hair in the bright spot, it's no lower than the skin, but it's just dimmed, well then, again, shut him up for 7 days, look on the seventh day, if it's spread abroad, he is, in fact, unclean, it is Zara'at. But if the bright spot stays in place, hadn't spread, and dims instead, and if it is the rising of the burning, then he is, again, Tahor, and the priest pronounces him clean. This is just the scar from the burning. So it says, when a man or woman has a plague upon the head or on the beard, this time the Kohen looks into the plague. Behold, if the appearance is deeper than the skin, notice that's a consistent pattern, if it's deeper than the skin, and this time if there's in it yellow, thin hair, then again he is unclean. It's a scal, or it is a Zara'at of the head or of the beard. This time, if the priest looks upon the skull, and behold, the appearance is not deeper than the skin, there's no black hair in it, then he gets shut up for the 7 days again. And the seventh day, the priest looks upon the plague, sees if the skull has not spread, if there's no yellow hair, and the appearance is not deeper than the skin, then he gets shaved. But the skull he doesn't shave, the part where it's nasty he doesn't shave. Priest again shuts him up for 7 more days, and on the seventh day he looks on the skull. Behold, if it hasn't spread, if the appearance is not deeper than the skin, well then he is Tahor, he's clean. and the man can wash his clothes and be clean. But if the scald spreads abroad in the skin after his cleansing, the Kohen looks at him, and behold, if the scald has spread, he doesn't look for the yellow hair. He knows it. He is Tamei, and he pronounces himself. But if the scald stays in its appearance, and the black hair is growing up in there, the scald is healed. He's okay. He's clean. And the Kohen pronounces him to be clean. If a man or woman has in the skin of their flesh bright spots, even bright white spots, then the Kohen looks, and behold, if these bright spots in the skin of their flesh are of a dull white, it is a teter. It's broken out in the skin, but he is in fact clean. Now, if a man's hair falls out of his head, he's bald, okay, but he is, in fact, still clean, which is good to know for some of us. If his hair has fallen out from the front part of his head, he is forebald, but he's clean. And if there's a bald head or a white bald forehead or a reddish white plague, that would be a zara'at breaking out on his bald head or his bald forehead. Then, again, the Kohen looks upon him, and behold, if the rising of the plague is reddish white in his bald head or in his bald forehead, and the appearance is one of zara'at in the skin of his flesh, he is, in fact, a zara'ah, an ish zara'ah. He is a man of zara'at. He is unclean. And the priest, and now this is interesting, I've got this highlighted. The priest shall surely pronounce him unclean. This time, the nagah, the plague, is in his head. The leper, nope, the metzora here, and let's see, doesn't actually use that term. It just says the person in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, tear his clothes, hair of his head shall go loose, he shall cover his upper lip, and he is to cry out. We've seen this in the movies, right? But here it is. Tamei, Tamei, unclean, unclean, stay away. Now, the sages will say they had, this was real social distancing when it mattered and when it was actually prescribed in Scripture as opposed to by the guy who thinks he's God, the little bald garden gnome or whatever he is, the traitor that pretends to be America's Dr. Mengele. There actually was a distance requirement. Now, I don't know that it was ever written down, but the sages say it was around 8 feet. So I guess if it's zara'at, you want to stay a little further away than if it's something that doesn't make any difference and you've got your face diaper on anyway. So you can't tell if you got zara'at underneath there. In all the days where this thing, this plague is on him, he is tamei. He's unclean. And he shall dwell alone outside the camp. That's where he belongs. Now, when this plague of zara'at is in a garment, whether it's a woolen garment or a linen garment, or in the warp or the woof, whether they're of linen or of wool, or in a skin like a calf skin or some kind of a skin or anything that's made of skin, if this time the plague is reddish in the garment or in the skin or in the warp or the woof or anything that's made out of skin, it is, in fact, zara'at, and it shall be shown to the Kohen. The Kohen again looks upon this plague, and he shuts up the thing that has it for 7 days. Then on the seventh day, he looks again, sees whether it's spread or not, in the warp or the woof or the skin, whatever service the skin is used for. And if so, it is a malignant, this is a gnarly word here, it is zara'at, that is in fact mamarat. It is unclean. Okay? And it's prickling, too. That's this word that is read as fretting or malignant. That gets burned. This thing gets burned. The warp or the woof, whether it's of wool or of linen, anything of skin, where this plague is, it is a malignant leprosy. It needs to be burned in the fire. Get rid of it. Now, this time, if the Kohen looks, behold, the plague hasn't spread, though, in the garment, or in the warp or in the woof, or anything made of skin, then the Kohen shall command they wash this thing that had it, and then he shuts it up for another 7 days so he can check. He looks again after this thing has been washed. And behold, if the plague hasn't changed color and if it hadn't spread, it is in fact unclean. You burn it in fire. That's interesting. If it has not changed its color and has not spread, it is unclean. You burn it in the fire. It is a fret whether its bareness be within or without. And the priest looks, and behold, if the plague is dimmed after it's been washed, then he rends it out of the garment, or out of the skin, or out of the warp, or the woof. In other words, cuts it out. And if it still appears to be in the garment, or in the warp, or the woof, or anything made of skin that's breaking out, then you burn it with fire. This garment, or the warp, or the woof, or whatever thing that is made of skin, which you shall wash, if this plague has departed from them, then you wash it a second time. Now it's okay. You can wear it. It is clean. And this is the last part of the portion for this week where it says, this now is the Torah of the plague of leprosy, of Zara'at, in a garment, whether it's of wool or a linen or the warp or the woof or anything of skin. And it is, of course, the Kohen who pronounces it clean or pronounces it unclean. So another comment or two here before we wrap it up. Again, we'll talk about this some more next week, but it has always fascinated me that there is so much in here that most of Christendom, if you will, tends to just look at and go, oh, this is all Old Testament stuff anyway. Obviously, Jesus cleansed all of that, and turns out that it was, in fact, around at his time and after as well. It's I'll talk more about this next week, and maybe a little bit more tomorrow too. But it's the idea that we don't have it anymore that has always kind of fascinated me. And you know, the question is why? No, I don't believe it has anything to do with medical procedures or anything else. I think it literally has to do with something that the Creator has changed. Okay, does it have to do with the coming of the Mashiach? Well, certainly if, and they make a pretty good case, if it is associated with the evil tongue, with Lashon Hara, that wasn't done away with after Yeshua. There's at least a whole lot of that still around. As a matter of fact, it even may have gotten more evil, as you know, for long periods in human history. So for now, we'll just leave it as a question. Why? And I can't help but think that there will come a time, and maybe sooner rather than later, when we might be able to figure it out. But to some extent, I guess what I'll leave you with is this idea. I'm not convinced that it's a good thing that we don't see it anymore. Because if we did have this, and if people did understand that it was associated with gossip, Lashon Hara, and the evil tongue, arguably there might be a little bit less of it, because that is certainly out of control. As a matter of fact, you can't flip on the TV without seeing Zara'at that literally kind of flows out, right out of the warp or the woof of the TV.